You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 if you got a Bible, and also grab your listening guide, and welcome to our Siena, our Cypress, and downtown and Espanol campuses as well. It's awesome for us to get together on December 23rd. This is December 23rd. This is awesome. This morning, I told my daughter that it was December 23rd, and she went, "It's December 23rd? That means tomorrow is December 24th. And the next day is December 25th. It's Christmas Day. It's 2 days away." I'd never seen anybody so excited over December 23rd in their life. Never seen that before. And then she told me, this was new to me, she said, "You know what today is?" I said, "What?" She said, "Today is Christmas Adam, because Adam came before Christmas Eve." So something new, we got Christmas Adam and then Eve. So Adam became before Eve. So this is Christmas Adam. You didn't know that. So welcome to Christmas Adam. And I hope that you are just as excited about December 23rd. Because of this reason, we're going to be able to look into God's Word and to get our hearts ready for December 24th, tomorrow, as we join together for our candlelight time of Christmas Eve services right back here tomorrow, which will be great. And all of our campuses will have different Christmas Eve services. And then to be able to jump into the 25th. So our goal is to get excited about the 23rd because we're prepared and ready to go into the 24th and 5th. To be excited about Christmas Adam so we can jump into Christmas Eve tomorrow. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 2 in just a second. We've been journeying through with a statement we've been using for the last 3 weeks. And I want us to put it up on the screen and we're going to say it together. And we're also going to go VBS on it. We're going to have hand motions, okay? So here's what it's going to be. Bigger plan is we're going to point up. Everybody, all campuses, point up. That's a bigger plan. Some of y'all are not participating. I can see you. Bigger plan, okay? Deeper hope and excitement of something new. Okay, you ready? One more time. Bigger plan, deeper hope, excitement of something new. Let's say this together. You ready? Here we go. Christmas reminds us there's a bigger plan, a deeper hope, and an excitement of something new. One more time. Christmas reminds us there's a bigger plan, a deeper hope, and an excitement of something new. So we're excited about something new. 2019's got something new for you, but there's a bigger plan as well. God's got a bigger plan than what you and I can see right now. We're going to see with the shepherds in just a moment as they're going to be journeying with their sheep. They don't realize that on this night, there's going to be a bigger plan and there's going to be a deeper hope and there's going to be excitement about something new. So we want that in our minds and our hearts. We've been asking the question, what is your Christmas song? Not just Christmas karaoke of other people's songs, but what's your Christmas song? You don't have to write one. You don't have to sing one. But that God's got some notes to put into your life and my life as we live out this life to be able to sing our Christmas song to Him. And in looking at that and getting to that thought, we've been looking in Luke chapter 1 with Mary's psalm is what it is. There's four New Testament kind of psalms about Christmas that then we've taken and made into songs. It's called the Magnificat. That's what it is in Luke chapter 1. It's my soul magnifies the Lord, the Latin word for magnifies. That's what we've looked at the last 2 weeks. And then today we're going to look at a Christmas psalm or song that is very familiar to you because you've sung this one. This is where we get the words from angels we have heard on high. This is in the Latin. What the verse we'll go over in just a minute is Gloria. In excelsis Deo. Music ministers are safe in our church. I will not take their job. You can see right there. The ministry is safe with that, but that's the words. That's the song. It's Latin for this. Glory to God in the highest. It's Latin. So that we can say glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Now, before we get to that verse of Scripture, we want to ramp into it. We want to ramp up to it so that we can see the context of this. So look, if you will, in verse 8 is where we're going to start. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. We're going to hit this just coming by as way of introduction. Here's what it says in verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping a watch of their flocks by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them. Notice, an angel of the Lord, one angel, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord stood, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. What is the New Testament? Little Bible trivia. Every time somebody sees an angel, they are terrified, is what happens. So if you're ever playing Bible trivia and they say, what did the angel say? Just always start with, be not afraid, okay? That's what you can start with. Here we go. We keep on going. So they're terrified by that. And then we see in verse 10, but the angel said to them, what? Do not be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you, I, one personal pronoun, an angel, the angel, it's one angel. I proclaim to you good news of great joy for all people. Now, verse 11 is going to give us the gospel, the good news, the story of Christ, all in one verse. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah and the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Look at verse 11. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. In that verse of Scripture, it gives us the entire gospel. Today, present tense, God wants to do something, for this is the day that the Lord has made, for today is the day of salvation. Today, in the city of David, meaning that he's been prophesied all throughout the Old Testament, today in the city of David, Christ has been born for you. In the city of David, prophecy today, the Lord, the Savior, a Savior was born for you. So today, present tense, in the city of David prophesied, a Savior, exactly what you need, has been born for you. Personal. Not just a Savior of the world, but your Savior. Do you know that today, right now, Jesus wants to do something in your life? Today may be the day of salvation for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today in the city of David, it's been prophesied all through the Old Testament. God didn't just come up with this idea and say, hey, I'll do this today. And then it happened. It's been prophesied a Savior born for you. Now, a lot of times we could talk about the Savior of the world, but forget that he wants to be the Savior of our hearts. I like to ask waiters and waitresses when we go out to eat, I'll say, before we say blessing over the food, I'll say, hey, is there anything we can pray for you about? We're about to thank God for the food. Is there anything we can pray for you about? Anybody sick in your family? Anything going on in your family? And it's interesting what'll happen. Some people, they'll literally start crying right there at the table because you'll struck a chord so deep in them and they'll just, tears will come to their eyes. And they'll say, yes, would you pray for this, this, and this? Some of them will say, yeah, could you pray? I'm really struggling for money. If you could tip 25%, I'm praying for you to do that. You know, I mean, well, just recently, waitress came up to our table and I said, ma'am, is there anything we can pray for you? Very politely, I say this. And we're about to say a blessing over our food and ask the Lord, give thanks to the Lord for our food. Is there anything we can pray for you? She said, no, I don't need anything. I thought, man. And she walked away. We prayed. I said, Lord, we still pray for our waitress because she needs it more than ever. She thinks she doesn't need anything from you. Do you know that today a Savior's been born for you and you and I need God so greatly? We need God so greatly. So just in way of introduction, I just want you to see in verse 11, this one angel declares the entire gospel. You need God. I need God. Students, young singles, don't wait till the end of your life to look back and go, I wonder if that was God's will for my life. Start from the beginning and saying, I want your will for my life, Lord. I want your will for my life as a senior adult, as whatever age you are. I want your will today in my life. So this one angel declares it, and then we're going to see what happens when all of these other angels show up. Look at verse 13. Suddenly, there was a multitude. Remember, it was one angel? Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. Another way to say multitude is an army of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Verse 15, and when the angels left them and returned to heaven, angels plural, notice that, returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So we start with the fact that here's all of these angels now. Now it's an army of angels. They were terrified with one angel, and now there's a multitude of heavenly hosts. Can you get that? Can you imagine that? How amazing that would be to be there in the night, the sky lights up, and all of a sudden this this dark night becomes as bright as day. A virgin, think of the irony of this, a dark night becomes bright as day. A virgin gives birth. A baby is a savior. The manger is the home for a king. Lowly shepherds hear the song of heavenly angels. And one angel becomes then a multitude of heavenly hosts is surrounded. Do you see just the irony of God just turning everything upside down, changing the whole thing? And he can do that in your life and in my life in a moment, in a time. He can turn it all the way upside down and say, wow, look at what God's done in a great way. Let me give you four notes to sing of your Christmas song. Number one is this, glory to God. Did you see that in the scripture? Glory to God in the highest. What does that mean? The most important is the most important. Look at verse 14. The angels, the multitude declares out, glory to God in the highest heavens. The most important is the most important. God is the deepest. God is the best. God is our Jesus is our connection to heaven to be able to connect in the glory of God. So what's the glory of God? That's a big phrase. What does that mean? Let me just kind of break it down for us. The glory of God, said in a different way, is choosing His will over your will. The glory of God, said in another way, is choosing sacrifice over selfishness. And God's glory shines in your life. The glory of God, said in a different way, is not by your power or your might, but by God's strength and His might. The glory of God, said in a different way, is not for your glory looking good, but for God to look good. So what happens? Let's put that all together. If I'm walking saying, God, I want your will in my life. I want to live a life of sacrifice, not selfishness. I want to live a life by your strength, not my strength. I want to live a life that shines with you, not me. Then that makes a difference in your marriage. That makes a difference in your singlehood. That makes a difference as a student. Because now God is living His life through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through you. And you're living to the glory of God. Now that's a lot easier to say than it is to do. But that's what they're saying from the very beginning. I want to declare this Christmas message to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. His strength. His efforts through you, His ability. Because life is difficult. Life is hard. Life is not easy. And when we say, God, I just want you to get the glory in all of this. I want my life to matter for you. We're chiming in with the angels as they sing out, as they state glory to God in the highest. We say, amen, yes. Now, let me give you this phrase for your heart, but also for you to write in your notes. When we live for the high of heaven, you will better make it through the lows of earth. When you live for the high of heaven, the glory of God, you will better make it through or better understand or better walk through the lows of this earth. There are dips, there are valleys, there are aches, there are pains. And when we live for the high of heaven, we will then make it through the lows of earth because we will say, I consider it all joy when I encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith will produce endurance so that I can be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. We could say, Lord, I know that no one will snatch me from your hand. We could say that the peace that passes all understanding, be anxious about nothing but with prayer and supplication, let the peace of Christ that passes all understanding guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 1. As I get about the high of heaven, then I'm going to make it through the lows of earth. And so the angels are declaring to these shepherds who are the lowest of the lows of earth. These aren't like big shepherds. These are low shepherds that they're trying to just tend their sheep, and they're going to then come to see the Savior, the true, true shepherd. Number two, our second note is this. He says, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the heavens, and peace, if you look in verse 14, peace on earth to people He favors. Peace on earth. Now, how do you have peace on earth? We've been searching and asking for peace on earth forever. Been trying to make peace treaties through that. We should still seek that out. There's no doubt about that. We should make efforts toward that. But here's how peace on earth comes. Peace on earth comes. The peace in us brings peace around us. Peace in us brings peace around us. Hurt people hurt people. But when you get peace in you, it brings peace around you. So now you can have peace in your marriage because you got peace in your heart. You can have peace in your friendships because you have peace in your heart. You can have peace with your parents because you got peace in your heart. The peace has got to be in you first to then be outside you. Our heart, not our circumstance, is what God is after. Listen to this Stoic philosopher, Epictetus. He says this way back, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to get peace from passion and grief and envy. He cannot give peace of the heart for which man yearns more than ever, even more than outward peace. You can be in a peaceful situation out here, but if you're in unrest in your heart, it doesn't matter. It's like a pebble in your shoe walking down the street. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And Jesus has come to give peace on earth, yes, but how does he do that? He does that by giving peace in our heart so that peace could be in our hearts, in our lives. Do you know the first thing the resurrected Christ said to the disciples was? John chapter 20, verse 19. The first thing he said to the disciples was this, peace be with you. Peace be with you. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. So he says, I want to give you peace. Why is it so hard to get peace in today's world? Well, part of it is because there's so much trauma around us. We know so much more than maybe we need to know even. I mean, how many images have we seen in movies or on news of rooftops being blown off or people being murdered or seeing some calamity in somebody's life or hearing bad news about something that's happened or reading something that's happened? And we see all of this around us, all different places. I've been thinking about this phrase I heard somebody said. They said this, what's your trauma intake on a given day? What's your trauma intake on a given day? And you think about all the images that come at us and all the conflict that we have in our life that you have at the office. Students, you just finished finals. That's trauma intake, isn't it? All of this trauma intake that we have, and some of us, we're on our phones bringing in trauma. Then we read the newspaper and it's bringing in trauma. Then we're watching news all night long and it's bringing in trauma. Then we're listening to trauma all day on the radio. And it's just trauma intake. And yet we don't have much Bible intake. And so the intake of peace is so much lower than the intake of trauma. And so me in my own life have just been like, I need to limit trauma intake in my life. And I need to grow in the peace intake and the Bible intake and the heavens intake instead of just the earth intake. And so I just ask you, what's your trauma intake on a daily basis, a weekly basis, however you want to measure it? And maybe that's a part of why we're so anxious and we're so afraid we're going to lose everything in a moment. We're so afraid we're going to die. We're so afraid we're going to get sick. And we're so afraid some disaster or calamity because we've just seen a car wreck after a car wreck after a car wreck. Disaster after disaster after disaster. And yet this trauma intake is so high in today's world. And our Bible intake is so low. And here when we hear about peace, we're like, yeah, but are you serious? Yes, Jesus is serious. Does it mean everything's going to go well? No. But it does mean that God can do something in your life, even in the midst of calamity. You can have the peace that passes all understanding through Christ. Let me give you I just want to drill down. This is kind of this point of peace. Duke University did a study on the peace of mind. How do you have peace of mind? They gave 8 things. And I want to tell you, these 8 things to me sound very Christian. Duke University wouldn't say that. These 8 things sound very Christian. Number 1, how do you have peace of mind? These are the factors that contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability, having a peace of mind. Number 1, the absence of suspicion or resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Number 2, not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures can lead to depression. You ever thought, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? I should have done this. Number three, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. Number four, force yourself to stay involved in the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become a recluse during periods of emotional stress. Number five, refuse to indulge in self-pity. When life hands you a raw deal, accept the fact that no one gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Number six, cultivate old-fashioned virtues of love, humor, compassion, loyalty, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians. Number seven. It's not quite that good. Number seven, don't expect too much of yourself. When the gap is too wide between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you have set, feelings of inadequacy inevitably result. Number eight, and last one, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score the lowest in any test for measuring happiness. These eight things sound remarkably Christian. Find something bigger to believe in. How do you have peace? By being able to say, God, your glory, your will, that's what I want to be about. Men, have you noticed that most men's hobbies are solitude in a beautiful place? Why? Because we're like, we need to be by ourselves and get away. So golf, hunting, fishing, traveling, running, working out, whatever it is. They're always the workshop to build birdhouses, whatever it is. It's all, leave me alone, let me go someplace I want to go to. Why? Because there's so much trauma intake that happens in our lives. And so this Duke study and the angels are in perfect unison. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth in you and me first, and then goodwill towards men. See, in today's world, we have a lot of efforts for peace. We talk a lot of peace. We say a lot of peace. But peace involves sacrifice. It involves God. It involves God doing something in our life. And so a lot of times we'll say things and we're just talking a good game. It's kind of like it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And even in today's world, we'll hear people talking about all sorts of different things and, man, let's give and let's go for Christmas and all that. And that's all well and good. Recently, I saw in a news report, one commentator was kind of going after another commentator. And this one commentator was talking about how we need to do this and we need to do this and we need to do this. And the other commentator said, well, let me ask you this. How many of the people you're talking about are you going to take into your own house? And the commentator shifted. Well, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. How many of the people that are in need that you're talking about are you going to receive in your own house? Crickets. Nothing. Why? Because we like to talk a big game about this, but will we live a big game when it comes to our house and our lives? Peace on earth. The peace begins with a peace in our heart that then goes to the peace on earth so that we can say, Lord, we want you to do something in and through us. The third note that we have out of four is this. God desires good for us. Verse 14, glory to God, note one, in the highest heavens. Peace on earth, note two, and verse 14. Note three, to the people he favors. Goodwill towards men is the way that we say it. Oftentimes, and particularly the younger that you are, the more you fear God's will for your life. And I'm just telling you, a little bit older than some of you, a little younger than others of you, that as I look back on my life, I see God's will, and I'm so grateful for it. Thank you, Lord, for your will, even for the difficult times that I don't understand. Lord, you did something in me. You did something through me, Lord. And so as you look and you see this verse, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. God is for you. His will is good. Students, young singles, the purity that God calls you to. Millennials, the holiness he wants you to have. It's good. It's good for you. And even as you look back, you could see God's hand. But can we take the looking back and look forward and see God's hand and say his will is good for us? He's done great things. Even when things don't make sense, we can trust him in the tough things. We fear God's will, but even in the tough things, we can trust that he's doing things that are good. Have you ever heard of a guy named William Borden? I know you've heard of Borden because you've drank Borden milk. You've had Borden milk to drink. And so this is from one of the heirs of the Borden milk, dynasty, basically, of all that they had. 1904, William Borden graduated from high school. Students, tell me if you'd like this. He graduated from high school a millionaire. He was already a millionaire at high school. So that's pretty good. That's good. This is in 1904, which being a millionaire in 1904, that was crazy kind of money compared even till now. That's still a lot of money. But he graduated a millionaire in 1904. 1905, he went around the world trip in 1905, which is, again, a huge deal to do in 1905. And when he went around the world on his senior trip to go around the world, his heart got a burden for missions. He said, wow, what I've seen. I want God to use me. He got a burden for missions. He told one of his friends, and his friend said this, you're throwing your life away as a missionary. You're throwing your life away as a missionary. And in response to that, William Borden wrote in the back of his Bible two words, no reserves. He just wrote two words, no reserves, in the back of his Bible. Then in 1905, he went on that round-the-world trip. In 1909, he graduated from Yale from college. So as a millionaire, he went to college anyway, went to Yale for college, graduated from Yale, and he began to turn down all these high-paying jobs. Can you imagine the jobs that would be coming at you if your last name is Borden and you just graduated from Yale? And he turns down all of these jobs, and he turns them down. And then he wrote in the back of his Bible, after he turned down all these jobs, he wrote down, no retreats. So no reserves. Underneath it, no retreats. He set sail in 1912. He set sail for Egypt on the way to China. But in 1913, he dies of spinal meningitis at 25 years old. Untimely, tragic death. A biographer said this about him, said Borden not only gave away his wealth, but himself, in a way that was so joyous and natural. You hear God's will is good for your life? In a way that is so good or joyous and natural that it seemed like a privilege instead of a sacrifice. Gave away his wealth and his life. It seemed like a privilege rather than a sacrifice. And they found his Bible after he had died, and they found that he had written two other words under it. He had no reserves, he had no retreats, and underneath it, somewhere along the way, he wrote, no regrets. No regrets. 25-year-old, untimely death in our eyes, but yet here we are talking about him today. And I just wonder if we could say with God's will, as we lead into this final point, God's will is good for our lives. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. God, we love you. We walk with you. We trust you. And these shepherds out here on this plain shepherding their sheep, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth begin with me, and goodwill towards men. And look at their response. If you'll look in verse 15. As we wrap this thing up, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem. Or other versions would say, with haste to Bethlehem. This would be the same Greek connotation of where the lady left her jar at the well and ran back to the city and said, you got to come hear this guy. He just told me about my whole life. It's the same kind of wording of when they left the tomb and they ran with haste away from the tomb, the resurrected tomb. So they said, let's go straight or with haste to Bethlehem and see what has happened with the Lord, which the Lord has made known to us. Made known to us. Here's our fourth note of our song. It's this, let's go. Let's go. Our vision motivates our mission. They see this heavenly host singing out, and these shepherds say, let's go. Now, I want us to say that together, all campuses together. We're going to say that phrase, let's go, on the count of three. One, two, three. Let's go. Now, say it with some gusto. One, two, three. Let's go. The shepherd said, let's go. Let's go. Let's step up, let's stand up, and let's go into the greatest days that God has for us. And so they came and they took their sheep and they went to see the shepherd in the manger right there at that moment. And they said, let's go to Bethlehem and make haste and go there. Here's what I want you to hear as our last point. Earthly mission follows heavenly vision. Earthly mission follows heavenly vision. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God, and then I will be exalted in the nations. Get a picture of who I am, and when you get that picture, then I will be exalted in the nations. So I want you to hear loud and clear, God has a plan for you this Christmas. He's got something great for you and for me. There's a bigger hope, there's a bigger plan, there's a deeper hope, and there's something exciting and new that's coming along. And these shepherds never could have thought how they'd fit in the bigger plan. They never could have realized the deeper hope that they had in this dead-end job of being a shepherd. And they never knew the excitement as they made haste and they said, let's go. Let's go. And so I say, I hope in your heart on this Christmas, Adam, you got something in you that says, let's go. Let's go. Let's go and let God do something great. Close with this song lyrics. The song's called, I Just Showed Up for My Own Life. I just showed up for my own life. Hear this. I've been spending my time sleepwalking. I've been moving my mouth but not saying a thing. Hoping the changes would take by working their way from the outside in. It's got to be the inside out, doesn't it? I was in love with an idea, preoccupied how a life should appear. Spending my time at the surface, repairing holes in the shiny veneer. There's so many ways to hide. There's so many ways not to feel. There's so many ways to deny what is real. But I just showed up for my own life, and I'm standing here taking it in, and the future sure looks bright. Now I'm going to live my life inspired. I'm going to look for the holy in the commonplace. I'm going to open the windows and feel all that is honest and real until I'm truly amazed. I'm going to feel all my emotions. I'm going to look you, God. I'm going to look you in the eye. And I'm going to listen and hear until it's finally clear in a way that changes our lives. I just showed up for my own life. And I wonder if these shepherds would say something like that. Been tending these flock, been doing our thing, and now I've just showed up for my very own life. Let's go. Let's go. Let's sing our Christmas song to the glory of God with the peace of Christ, knowing His will is good. Let's go and walk out His plan. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we thank You, Lord, that the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, even in Acts chapter 10, the peace that You used as a synonym for salvation, that's where it begins. That we would say, let's go. And for some of us today, the let's go moment is trusting Christ in salvation. For others, the let's go moment is to join the church and say, I'm going to plant my life somewhere. Through thick and thin, I'm going to be a place called home of Houston's First. For some, it's just gaining a new vision. But Lord, may we say no reserves, no retreats, no regrets as we live out this Christmas. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, He wants more than anything. He came to planet Earth for you to say, Jesus, save me from my sin. Don't be like the waitress and think you don't need God. Turn to Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. For believers, every campus, would you say, Lord, let's go. I want to walk with You. I want to walk with You. I want to love You greater. No regrets, no retreats, no reserves. Father, we come in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.